Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another series of Science the Suits from the Penn Biotech Group at the University of Pennsylvania. My name is Daniel Jacome, and I'm joined by a new co-host of the podcast, Jarek Toe. We are both graduate students at the University of Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Daniel. Science the Suits is a podcast designed to help academic trainees explore business careers within the life sciences. In this new series of Science the Suits, we will be exploring life science entrepreneurship. So life science entrepreneurship involves taking a scientific idea or technology and translating it into a commercial product. These products can take the form of therapeutics, medical devices, diagnostics, research and manufacturing tools, and can even go beyond medical purposes to involve agricultural and industrial products too. We highlight here some of the main considerations and the journey for life science startups. So firstly, starting off with the science. The entrepreneurship process usually starts with discoveries and research in a lab that generate novel ideas and technologies.
So once you have your novel idea or technology, you have to look at the market. Is there an actual place in the market for your novel technology, and is there a use for it right now?
And with your novel idea and technology, it's also really important to think about intellectual property, because the idea or technology is usually the central asset for life science companies, and that needs to be patented and ownership needs to be determined.
So usually to get your technology to the market, you have to start a company and raise funds. Drug development is an incredibly expensive process, and thus financing the R&D and growth of life science startups is very important to consider. Financing life science startups can come from two main forms: non-dilutive and dilutive funding. Non-dilutive funding refers to financing that does not require existing owners and shareholders of the company to give up any control or equity of that company. This form of financing can come from sources such as government grants or foundational grants. On the other hand, dilutive funding means that investors will take equity or share ownership of the company, but in return provide guidance and networks along the growth of the company. These investors are usually venture capitalists.
And as the life science startup progresses, other considerations and milestones involve formation of the company, assembling a team, and developing a business model and commercialization strategy that can take your idea and technology into the market.
So you've done a great job founding a company with solid IP, great fundraising, and now a larger company or public market wants to buy your work. You transfer the ownership of your company to that buyer and they pay you and your investors. This is called an exit.
As we hear, life science entrepreneurship shares a number of similarities with entrepreneurship in other fields. However, what makes life science entrepreneurship different and oftentimes very challenging is the high amounts of biological uncertainty and the regulatory requirements involved in developing a life science product. And to generate the data needed to understand and de-risk the biological uncertainty and to meet regulatory requirements, large amounts of money and really long developmental times are usually needed.
So why are we doing this series? The amount of capital invested into life science startup has increased significantly over the last few years. The infrastructure and environment for supporting founder-led life science startups have also developed just as strongly. This provides a very exciting opportunity right now for academic trainees like graduate students to take their research that they are doing in the lab and bring it to the market.
Our goal with this podcast is to provide a taste of founder-led life science entrepreneurship to academic trainees that are still new to this field. Daniel and I are still very much new to the field, and we will be speaking to those with much more experience. We will be speaking with founders who have formed companies from their academic research, and also speaking to folks that are involved in company formation, intellectual property, venture capital, and management of more mature life science startups.
So who will this series be targeted toward? Life sciences startups can be created from a variety of different players, for example, established academics, venture capitalists, or spun off from existing biopharma companies. In our series, we focus on life science entrepreneurship started by academic trainees, whether they're graduate students or postdocs. We're very excited for you to come on this journey with us. Hope you take a listen.